Welcome to another episode of the Not Your Typical Psychotherapist podcast. My name is Ernesto. I'm your host, and we are in episode number 7. And before we move on with this topic, like I've mentioned in previous topics, please, please, please subscribe to iTunes, to this podcast, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to this podcast, please subscribe. And I would also love your feedback. If you can rate it, if you can make a comment and just say something about this podcast, because I do read them, I look at them, and I really want to get better and better on how to deliver a high quality podcast to all of you so that you are lifted and inspired. And for those of you who have forgotten, this podcast is dedicated to all of you, not your typical psychotherapist, who are doing things that are outside of the norm. You are creative, innovative, and you are doing things that were not taught in grad school. You're taking risks. You are creating summits, retreats. You are creating courses that will help other people help with their mental health and also have a better perspective about themselves and their lives. Many of you are entrepreneurs, and keep doing your thing, because we need many of you out there to be open, to provide the high level of services that you provide. So as a not typical psychotherapist, I want to encourage you to do your thing, okay? Because our communities really, really need you. This topic is something that I've mentioned many, many times in my talks, in my conversations with many of you. First of all, I just want to say that I am a recovering codependent. Yes, I said it. Recovering codependent. I am someone who in the past believed that his actions, I am responsible. I am responsible for other people's feelings. I feel that I have to always be mindful about what I say, what I do, how I act, so that other people are not offended. And when they are offended, it is my responsibility, is my fault. And so there is a balance of my an imbalance as a codependent, an imbalance of what I am responsible for and what I'm not responsible for. So as a recovering codependent, this topic is going to be very meaningful to me, because I had to work on this and continually work on trying to figure out what is my responsibility when you're offended or when other people are offended, and what is the other person's responsibility. So basically, these are boundaries that I'll be talking about, which is where you begin and where other people begin, or I'm sorry, let me back up, where you end and where others begin in your life. So the topic here is attracting and repelling. Okay, I want you guys to just take that in. Attracting and repelling. What do I mean by attracting and repelling? So if you are a person who desires to be accepted and loved and liked by a certain community or certain someone, you tend to be a chameleon. You tend to mold yourself into someone so that the other person or other community or groups of people would accept you in their world, right? You kind of lose a sense of yourself, your true self, when you mold yourself into someone so that other people can feel better about themselves. Let me give an example about this. So let's say you're in a community, or let's say from a family systems perspective, if you're introduced to a system, and that system has a way of thinking, feeling, expressing their values, behaving, and acting, all of those things. They have a certain way within that system to act. But you have a different way to act, feel, think, express emotions, things like that. Your value systems are even different. So when you go into that system, there's one or two things that goes on. If that system has a rigid approach to the system, whether you have to think and feel and believe and have the values of that system, and they're very rigid about it. If you have different values and responses, reactions, you're just different. And you try to get into that system, what happens? You start hemorrhaging. They start hemorrhaging. they start trying to, they start molding you into their way of thinking, their way of living, their way of processing information through their lenses. And if you don't comply with that, they will then either slowly take you out of their system, or they turn up the heat and shame you, or even chastise you, or even try to provoke you, invoke you to be within their system. And because you're coming in as a disruptor in their system, they feel it and they hemorrhage, right? So what do you do in those moments? If you are recovering codependent like I am, or when I was really deep in my codependency, anytime I go into certain types of communities, anytime I go in certain group, I mold my language, I mold myself so that I can be accepted within that group. And to the degree where I kind of lose a sense of myself, and many of us do that, and sometimes unconsciously and consciously, you know, just to be liked. There's a part of us, that inner work that we need to do to figure out, why do I feel empty being by myself, and that I need other people to validate who I am and tell me who I am. And I talked about this with many, many folks. And sometimes we just have to be who we are, but we have to be at that space where we're actually discovering this idea that we are at a place where we may be molding ourselves way, way too much. Now, I'm not saying to fully go against the grain, right? There are times when you have to kind of be a puzzle without losing yourself. You have to be mindful of people's cultures, their values, their ideas, their systems. You don't have to insert your own values in them and try to break down their values and their models. If that's what they are, then leave it at that. You can always have boundaries to spend maybe less time with them, to have a different mindset when you go into their spaces. So, you know, you can be creative. You can be in that space without losing yourself and your value. I always say this: not everybody deserves every part of you. Not everyone deserves your whole self. Okay, no one deserves 100% of you. Only the people that allow you or want you to be yourself, and they can handle your full self, okay, your 100% self, those are the people that you need to be around, right? But if you're around people that says, hey, you can only be around us and within our system for only 20%, then damn it, give them only 5%. They don't deserve 20% of you, okay? So I'm saying this because I've always believed this idea of repelling and attracting. And I've learned this a few years ago when people started correcting my grammar, when people started correcting my spelling. And, you know, from coming from Hawaii, relocating from the island of Kauai to California, you know, there's a difference of culture and language. Even the Filipinos in California were way different from the Filipinos that grew up in Hawaii. And I can't explain it, but I felt it, right? The language was somewhat different. The way that we view the world was somewhat different. And there was a sense of disconnect at some point, but we learned from each other. So when you start repelling and attracting people, there's a few things that you have to keep in mind. The bottom line here is, one, you have to be aware and be centered on who you are exactly. If you are discovering yourself right now, and the way that you know that you are in this self-discovery is when you're within a system. When you're within a system, and that system either makes you feel uncomfortable to be yourself, you have to ask the question, why? What is it about being in this system, in this space, that is not sitting right with me? That could give you a clue, and just sit with it. You don't have to figure it out in that moment or within that time frame, but just sit with it. Why is it within that system you don't feel aligned with yourself? That should give you the clue. And vice versa, on the other spectrum, if we are with some people or a group, a community, and you feel aligned That's where you need to be, and ask questions and be curious. What is it about that community or that space where I feel like I don't have to sugarcoat my language, where I don't have to say the right thing, where I don't have to change my volume of my voice, where I don't have to where I don't have to dilute my values, and I don't have this burden of making other people feel a certain way about themselves, feel good about themselves, just to, for me to be in that space. What is it about that? So there's two spectrums you can look at, right? From a repelling and a from this model where you're doing some self-discovery. On one section, when you're in certain spaces and you're figuring out, I don't feel good in this space, there's something unaligned within me, there's something that I'm not jiving with within this community or this system. Be curious about what's going on there. And on the other spectrum, what is it about this community, this space, this environment, this person that's making me feel welcomed and I can I feel safe being my full self here? So those are the questions, the first underlining questions to know who you are and what you're discovering to be, because your body knows. Your body, I believe, understands from a visceral perspective who you are. It's the consciousness, it's the thoughts, it's the belief that is confused. So you know this when you're around people and you're molding yourself into their language, into the way they dress, into the way that they look, and then you feel unaligned. It's not you. And once you understand this dynamics going on within you, then you can explore who you are, right? There's some people who become who they are right now based out of resentment and anger, and they want to punish other people because of it. So you see this a lot with people who have been ostracized in the past, and instead of moving into and embracing who they are from a gracious and loving manner and self-discovery and beautiful boundaried, they resort to anger and resentment. I will do whatever I want to, F you. They change and become themselves out of resentment and anger. Now, that is a human condition where you still are lost. You still don't know who you are because you're reacting to someone else's perceived notion of you, and you're reacting and sticking it in their eye, right? Here's who I am, F you, get out of my face, I will be who I am. And you do it, some people do it with resentment and anger. I'm not going to judge that because everyone has their way of self-discovery and self-expression. I do truly believe that that is okay. But I also, on one spectrum, believe that there may be another way to move into who you are without reacting from a perspective of resentment and anger, okay? Now, there are some people who are discovering a deeper meaning about themselves, a deeper part of themselves, when they're in the context of a certain system that makes them feel unaligned and not themselves. They do self-discoveries. They talk to people. They express their uncomfortability being that around that people or their alignment with a group of people. They express that and they talk about it and then they start discovering, okay, maybe this is my value. I can feel it. I can sense it. Oh, this is who I am, right? I discovered this when I started leaning into this idea, this philosophy of not your typical psychotherapist because I was doing counseling with a client years ago, and he said, you know, you're not the typical therapist that I'm used to seeing or have seen in the past. And I thought to myself, wow, that's a very powerful comment and observation. Not your typical. What the heck does that mean? So I did some self-exploration on what that meant for me. And I started figuring out that what he said was, you know, you're doing so multiple entrepreneurial endeavors. You're doing multiple businesses. You have a group practice. You have a solo. Uh, You have a videography business, you're doing all of these multiple things at the same time, and that's not typical. And I'm like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. And what he was saying was, you're a risk taker, you're innovative, you think see things from a different perspective, and you're also very mindful of the spiritual condition of this. You listen to your soul. So I was really taken aback by what this client was telling me, this feedback, because he felt the same way. He felt that he was in a community that dimmed his light, that did not foster his creativity and innovation. He was thinking outside of the box, and many people within his circle even was trying to dim that. And so when he started seeing me, and yes, this client did follow me on social media, on YouTube, on Instagram. And he doesn't make any comments, but I can see that by his comment, he was actually watching, and he was seeing all the things that I was doing within the context of my professional life. And for those of you who follow me on Instagram, I also give hints about my personal life, my relationship with my dad, my family, the things that I'm doing, buying properties, all of those things. So there is a window of, there's a window, there's a story that you can see on my Instagram and also on my Facebook. And so when this client came to me and said that, I was really thrown aback. And so that's when I started figuring out attracting and repelling. I was attracting clients like him. I was attracting human beings like him. And then I started attracting based on just doing all of these entrepreneurial endeavors and getting past all of these shade being thrown at me. These people in the past who told me that I have to walk in a direction in a certain way. When I started going outside of the norm and started figuring out, no, look, I want to go this way instead. I want to do this. I know not very many people are buying properties and renting them out or hosting retreats on your own property, investment property, but I think I want to go on this way. Yes, it's risky. Heck yeah, it's risky. It's scary, but I'm going to go this way. I'm going to suffer through this because I know in the long run, I'm going to see the fruits of my labor. So I want to go this way. So I started discovering, I started moving into that. I started behaving in a way and acting in a way where I felt aligned within myself, despite and in spite getting thrown shade not only from other colleagues, but also other profession other family members and friends. And I'm not saying that all of them are throwing shade at me. Many of them actually are encouraged and are silently watching and inspired by the things that I'm doing. I move through the world risking my reputation. I move through the world risking even my emotional safety. I have experienced a level of depression, anxiety, and intense, unfocused hyperactivity that I have never experienced since starting my multiple businesses, but I choose to be there. So when I started moving into who I was, which was the innovative, creative, and risk taker in the space of entrepreneurship, as a mental health professional, buying homes, hosting retreats, hosting summits, being a business coach, and just doing all the things where when I moved through the world like that, I started repelling people who want to stay stuck in their situation, and they keep compl I say stuck because they keep complaining about it. They're not doing anything about it. They're just there. They're lingering. They're losing a sense of themselves. And when they see other people excelling, they try to shoot them down with words, with comments, with shade, with rolling of the eyes, with gestures that can be interpreted as calm your light, turn your light down. There's just some, when you start becoming who you are, you start repelling people who want to stay just in that space. They complain, they ridicule, they even criticize other people who are doing things outside of the norm, right? They throw this, I call them emotional vampires and ethical bomb throwers. When you're doing something different within the world of mental health, right? You post it on one of the groups or any of the groups out there. You say, hey, I'm going to do this one thing. All the fear mongering, all the people who throw this ethical bomb and then they leave, they don't make a comment and then they just leave. Everybody else follows, right? It's unethical. It's illegal. It's unethical. It's illegal. Have you talked to your jurisdiction? Blah, 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 blah. All of these things. Yes, we need to uphold legal and ethics, but some people just throw things out there coming out of their butts, you know, based on maybe their fear. But in those times, you have to make a choice. Do you succumb to the mob mentality, the mob that's coming after you, or do you keep going and just be who you are meant to be? Not mediocre, but amazing and badass. You have to make a decision for yourself that when you are aligned with who you are in not only values, but also who you are spiritually, who you are in the soul, who you are in the world of entrepreneurship. When you start moving into that, you start attracting other people who are just like you. You attract those people because those people are out there waiting for you to show up, and then you then empower and inspire them to show up, and then the flame starts moving from one space to another space to another space. Next thing you know, all our jurisdictions that we belong to, all the professional affiliations that we have, are going to start changing their tune. They're probably even going to question what they believe back then to be ethical to now be something of the norm, which is embracing creativity and innovation within the mental health community. So my thing is this: when you move into who you are as a not your typical psychotherapist, you attract people who are like-minded and who are creative, who are risk takers, who are outside of the norm, and they will support you because that is a to be together as a group is powerful. You will attract them. At the same time, you will repel people who are the Debbie Downers, who are the fear mongers, who are the ones who want to stay within their, to keep swallowing their vomit, to swim in places that are mediocre, and they just want to stay there because it's safe. But for you as a not your typical psychotherapist, you venture into from the non-safe to the risk-taking area. And that is where the zone of genius, your zone of genius, is waiting for you. When you step outside of the box and when you start attracting other like-minded people, there's a momentum that is going to shift within you. Your inspiration, once you're going to start viewing the world in a different manner, where sky's the limit. If this guy is doing this, if this woman is doing this, I'm going to go in that direction as well too. If they can do it, I can do it. But then if you surround yourself with the Debbie Downers, those people who just want to stay in that space, and they have this tendency to throw shade at other people who are doing things that are different. If you stay within that space, you will become them, right? You will be in that space. Now, you know, the attracting repelling model has a lot to do with you, not necessarily for the people that I'm speaking to on these opposite spectrums, but this is for you. You have been thinking about doing that one thing or that multiple things that will take you outside of the therapy world, the butts in seat, the one-on-ones, the day-to-day 8-hour or, you know, 6-hour individual sessions that you have trapped yourself in. You want to do other things. You want to do retreats. You want to travel. You want to have a membership or a course that generates revenue for you while you travel, while you are with your families. You want to create that lifestyle where you're not working hard, but you're working smart. And you're engaging your values, you're engaging your spirit, and you're having fun. That's the main thing. Right? When you become yourself, you really discover a part of you that sees the world from a beautiful, creative, and innovative perspective. You were meant to create. That's what entrepreneurship is. A person who creates businesses. An entrepreneur who creates innovation, who are innovative and doing things that are different. That's who you are as a non-typical psychotherapist. So do some self-discovery. See who you are in this spiritually, emotionally, and in values. See and be mindful about how your body responds in certain communities, in certain groups, or with certain people. Be mindful about that, because those are indications of your who you are as a non-typical psychotherapist. And move into it. You'll find that you will attract people that are not only innovative and creative like you, but there's a reciprocity effect where you encourage them, they encourage you, they uplift you without even saying it. They're watching you on social media and you're watching them on social media, and you get inspired by the things that they're doing, you're doing and what they're doing. It's a beautiful reciprocity approach and a reciprocal approach to this momentum and unsaid relationship of inspiration and hope. But again, when you're on the other spectrum of being around people who are questioning the things that you're doing, it even having hints of fear-mongering in there, it's really difficult to tap into your creativity and your risk-taking. Because in business, there's risk involved. In creativity, there are risks involved. Many, many people who have been innovative in the past, artists, musicians who are successful in this day and age, they attracted other people and they've repelled other people because they were doing things in their art, in their music, in the things that they're doing from an outside of the box perspective. That is where the zone of genius is located. It is not within the comfort zone of your circle. It is outside of the circle of your comfort zone. Your zone of genius is there. So you have to figure out where you are in your circle. Are you in the comfort zone, or are you slowly breaking down the barrier, the wall, section where you can't even pass through, the bubble of your comfort zone, and you're just scratching the surface of just puncturing a hole so that you can be in the zone of genius. And maybe some of you are in the zone of genius. Continue to do it, because people within the circle of safety where they don't want to venture in, the more they see you doing that thing, the more you're inspiring them. And we need people like you. We need people like that, right? So if you're in the space and you're listening to this and you've got a lot of ideas, you've got a lot of thoughts, you've got a lot of entrepreneur endeavors in the future, and you're feeling an oversense of you have to do it and you want to do it because it is part of your heart's work, it's part of who you are and what you want to go into and where you want to go for it. There's a lot of us here cheering you on, okay? So as a non-typical psychotherapist, I implore you and encourage you and challenge you to step outside of your comfort zone and into your zone of genius. Again, my name is Ernesto. Thank you for listening on this podcast, The Non-Typical Psychotherapist. I will see you in the next podcast episode. Aloha, everybody. Have a great day and a great week. Bye-bye.